Today, Australia saved by data centres for now, as our luck runs dry. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World's latest post covering finance and property news. Well, the latest data from the ABS revealed that Australia's economy deaccelerated last quarter, missing estimates, thanks to the early impact of higher fuel costs and rising interest rates, as well as slowing wages, with modest household and public sector expenditure, as well as cyclone disruptions to mining and export activities. There were actually three key elements to the results: the lower mining output due to those cyclones, the unwinding of electricity subsidies, and a surge in import-heavy data centre construction, as booming data centre investment was responsible for the nation's entire economic growth in the first 3 months of this year. If you take the data centre investment out, the GDP growth would have slipped into negative territory. Overall, all of those factors make the quarter harder to read, but clearly the economy weakened at the start of 2026. Following a batch of positive results, the headline GDP was 0.3% over the March quarter. Although the economy slowed over the 3 months to March, it expanded at a solid 2.5% pace over the year. But GDP per capita fell by another 0.1% in the March quarter. It's actually declined in 10 of the past 15 quarters, and it's tracking 0.5% below its level in the second quarter 2022. Without the economic momentum generated by the data center investments, the per capita recession, which Australians are feeling, would have accelerated sharply, signalling a much deeper pullback in household economic well-being, something which we see in our latest surveys already, and also the very weak consumer confidence readings. Household spending on essential goods and services increased by 0.8%, but discretionary spending rose by just 0.1%. And overall household spending rose 0.5% in the quarter. The ABS said rising interest rates and significantly higher fuel costs in the March month likely created an environment for more cautious consumer behaviour. This resulted in reduced spending across a range of household expenditure categories, noting that household spending results in this release predated the halving of the fuel excise on the 1st of April. The household savings to income ratio fell to 6.2%, down from 7% in the December quarter, which signals spending is rising faster than disposable income. This fall reflects the rise in household spending in nominal terms, which outpaced the rise in household disposable income. Households' disposable income was driven by a 1.2% rise in compensation for employees, while the increase in income tax and interest payments detracted from that growth. Government final consumption expenditure fell 0.2%. That's the lowest quarterly growth since the September quarter of 2022. And Commonwealth spending slowed from recent high levels of defence expenditure, while state and local government spending fell 0.8% following the ending of the electricity rebate payments. Weather disruptions impacted export-dependent industries, with mining production down 1.5%, while transport, post and warehousing activity declined 1.3%. Exports fell 1.1%. That's the largest quarterly decline in 2 years, driven by falls in coal, down 6.8%, and mineral ores, down 1.3%. Imports of capital goods, though, rose 6.3%, as total imports grew 2.1%, and overall net trade detracted 0.8 percentage points from GDP growth. So all this confirms that the economy was clearly slowing, even before the conflict in the Middle East and interest rate hikes really had started to impact. And of course, these headwinds will be more fully reflected in the second quarter of 2026, with the possibility of a quarterly fall. And of course, two negative quarters would signal a recession. But then the results were propped up by that massive surge in investment in data centres, which helped cushion the economic woes. Private business investment rose 6%, driven by a massive 16.3% increase in machinery and equipment investment. That's the largest rise, actually, in 30 years with the expansion of data centres in New South Wales and Victoria during the quarter. The contribution of investment to GDP growth was moderated, though, as most of this equipment was imported. Now, of course, the Reserve Bank is aiming to cool activity and hoping to stave off second-round inflationary effects from higher fuel costs, while the government is trying to rein in outlays to avoid adding to price pressures. But the previous day's 4.75% Fair Work Commission award and the 6% for the lowest paid won't help contain inflation expectations, which suggests that more rate hikes will be arriving, if not in their June meeting, then later in the year. This is because there may not be a sufficiently tight policy set to put inflation on track to return to the midpoint of its 2-3% target anytime soon. The RBA, of course, last month raised the cash rate to 4.35%, fully unwinding a brief easing cycle through 2025, although this would not yet be included in the current outturn that we've been discussing. The money markets are fully pricing in a December rate hike with a 50-50 chance of another hike in August. The labour market conditions remain relatively tight, and the quality of growth, well, frankly, has deteriorated, with net exports declining and household spending faltering, and productivity remains in the gutter. The Reserve Bank of Australia is facing a nightmare scenario of embedded inflation driven by excessive government spending, excessive immigration, and cost-push energy inflation imported from abroad. If it hikes too hard in a bid to stem inflation, the RBA will push the economy into a headline recession, not just a per capita one. Treasurer Jim Chalmers hailed an investment boom driven by those data center investments, renewed energy and batteries, which drove business investment to almost a decade high. But SpinGin is at it again, because the circa $13 billion in data center investments for the quarter did not prevent a broader economic slowdown and mediocre broader business investment. Chalmers said the economic results were very solid, given the challenging international economic circumstances. Business investment is now at 12.9%. That's the highest in nearly a decade, and it's much higher than the 11.3% that we inherited. Now, of course, the data center boom is real, and it's only just gathering speed. According to Westpac, Australia was the second largest investment destination for data centers globally in 2024, with around 9.3 Aussie billion in capital investment. We almost beat that number in the 3 months in the March quarter. And Westpac estimates the data center pipeline still contains about $155 billion worth of projects. Now, if you throw in energy transition projects, which are only gaining more momentum given the power requirements of data centers, then you're looking at a $355 billion boom. That's equivalent to 30% of GDP, Westpac says. Now, these numbers are reminiscent of the mining boom, and they're built on similar foundations: natural advantages such as access to land and resources, Australia's reputation as a solid home for investment capital, and our proximity to the big markets of Asia. But like the mining boom, the data center boom looks relatively impervious to rising interest rates. Right now, it appears this stuff will be built almost irrespective of where interest rates end up. Of course, early signs of a downturn in the housing market, brought on by difficult economic conditions and the Albanese government's changes to capital gains tax breaks and negative gearing, are now compounding the likelihood that the economy will slow more broadly. Westpac says there is a possibility the economy could contract in the second quarter of this year, and HSBC Chief Economist Paul Bloxham believes this is already happening. Household spending also fell sharply in April, and auction clearance rates and national house prices have fallen in recent weeks. The RBA expects economic growth to slow to just 1.3% over the year by December and to remain weak at 1.4% in 2027. But Treasury is more optimistic and expects the economy to grow at 1.75% in 2026-27 and 2.25% in 2027-28. That's according to its updated forecasts, which were included in the federal budget. But beneath the data center boom, Wednesday's GDP growth figures tells us the story of an economy experiencing the pangs of stagflation, low growth and high inflation. A slowdown in economic growth that was happening before the US started firing missiles at Iran and before the Reserve Bank delivered the first of three interest rate increases in February will get worse from here, with a live prospect that the economy will shrink in the June quarter. Meanwhile, our stubborn inflation problem is getting worse every day that the Strait of Hormuz remains shut, and the 4.75% jump in the minimum wage announced by the Fair Work Commission on Tuesday is a sign of what's to come. Now, all of this means that this is an economy that must get worse before it can get better if we are to deal with the inflation problem that has plagued us for more than 5 years and find a way out from the stagflationary trap that we find ourselves in. Remember the OECD's warning about chronically low productivity and waning competitiveness, which actually suggests that two decades of governments that rode China's coattails and cheap RBA rates to paper over structural rot is now, well, coming to an end. A boom in immigration may have lifted GDP, but as reported in the AFR, the failure of housing supply to keep pace with population growth sowed the seeds of the inflationary bind that we find ourselves in now. This is a deep and structural problem, which frankly means the federal budget tax changes have very little more than just a cosmetic repair job in hand. Albanese and Chalmers needs to get serious to push on productivity improvements, and the big borrowing and poorly directed spending just won't do that. Our luck is running out. We need to find a different approach and quickly to turn this stagflationary ship around, but at the moment, we're heading right for the iceberg. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.